everyone. Welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, John, we're back. We're back in minute 61.
Yep.
I still can't believe we've done an hour of this so far. Hour of the movie, over 900 or so minutes of audio recorded so far.
That's just kind of a quick napkin math that we did between recording episodes. So it could be more, could be less. There's a good amount that you cut out when we're
editing
these and everything.
So. Yeah, that's around 900 minutes of published content.
Okay.
I have to take out all the really not okay shit you say.
All the ums and uhs and...
Just a lot of red pill stuff that we don't want
to... Jesus Christ.
I'm joking. John has never said that stuff.
No.
But what I will keep in this episode is our discussion of minutes 61 through 62.
Okay.
You like that? Good segue, right?
That was...
A little forced. I don't know.
Whatever. It was okay. not your best work.
Not my best. Not my worst. Not my best.
Yeah.
This minute starts off with Kynes continuing to talk about a worm frenzy, and it ends with Kynes talking about exit procedures for the sand harvester.
Let's get into it.
All right. So she finishes the her sentence from last or from yesterday when she was talking about shields are a death sentence in the desert.
Yep.
They drive the worms into a killing frenzy. I think she says killing frenzy.
Yeah, that is the exact quote. Yep. For some context, just to remind everyone, right before she's talking about how worms are drawn by rhythmic noises. Mm-hmm. As we know, shields are driven by the Holtzman effect, which is really fast rhythmic noises.
Yep.
So put two and two together in your head and you can understand why Shai Hulud gets pissed off. Immediately after she mentions that, we see Leto ask, is that a worm? Kynes brings up the largest pair of binoculars I think I've seen in my entire life, and looks out on the horizon. And we get that stereotypical, like, wider view, zoom.
Yeah.
You know, and then we see this giant plume of dust off in the distance.
So I'm going to, I know yesterday that I said I was going to save all the book comparisons, for like kind of at the end of the episode.
This is an important moment. So, it is. You know, feel free to break your own rule.
So in the books, he doesn't spot the worm at this point. He does in a second. Leto does spot the worm in a bit. But the first time that he sees something out the window and what causes Kynes to say, oh, you've got good eyes. Is he just sees a bird?
Just like a bird.
Just a bird, out, like a bird on the horizon. And he's like, is that a worm? He goes, no, it's a bird.
Is that thing that's flying out there, like at our level in this ornithopter? Is that a worm?
He's like, no, that's a bird, but you've got some good eyes. And I was like, oh, that's an odd thing to do.
I take back everything I said last episode about Leto being smart.
Well, you know, it was just something that was, you know, flittering off in the distance. So it's still got good eyes.
In fairness, like desert mirages, I can understand, you know, yada, yada, yada. But also like, bro, you're in an ornithopter a couple hundred feet off the ground.
Yeah. I am quite honestly jealous of Leto's eyes.
Yeah, you're pretty blind.
I am. Hopefully not for too much longer. I've got LASIK. My LASIK appointment scheduled for a week after next. So I'm going to fix these eyes, baby. Hopefully.
I'm going to get you a bunch of jazz CDs and a cane.
If all goes wrong, yep, that's what I'll do. his eyesight is really great for someone his age. Kynes makes sure to tell him that. So the ornithopter calls out to the spice harvester, Delta Ajax Niner. I could not find any kind of like, is that a reference to something or what? Cause it's the same in the books. Delta Ajax Niner is the call sign for the spice harvester.
I was hoping that like it would have been Delta Sierra Niner, D DS9.
Oh, that'd have been fun.
Get some Star Trek in here.
A little too on the nose.
Maybe, but you know, one can dream.
Yeah, even the abbreviation like DA9.
Yeah,
didn't get anything there. Ajax is not really part of phonetic alphabet.
Sure, but this maybe is also 40,000, yeah, 50,000 years in the future. So
no, it's the same as it is now.
The NATO phonetic alphabet does not change, right, ever.
They call down to the harvester and tells them, they tell them, "Hey, we got some worm sign ahead of you."
Yep.
They respond back, "Who's calling us?"
Gurney. Yeah.
It's like, why are they so calm, yeah, about this?
It's part of the job. Yeah. You know, this is not anyone's first. Well, I mean, it's Paul and Leto and Gurney's first rodeo with all of this. But as far as the harvester is concerned and the workers on the harvester, this is just part of what they do every day.
Yeah. It sounds like they were like knowing that we know this, but they were expecting it. So yeah. Worm always comes. Unlisted flight, Imperium business.
Yes. Because remember, Leto is a, or not Leto, Kynes is a now hostage.
Right.
In this trip.
This does not answer my question of whether this was planned or not, that I asked last week, like whether it was planned for them to come across the spice harvester during this flight. Doesn't really give any kind of indication. I'm still thinking that it was part of Leto's plan to do this for sure, but Kynes didn't really know about it.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna agree with that, I think. But see, I don't know, because Kynes at the start or before they leave last week says, "Now let's go see the
spice fields." Though they could have just been doing a flyover of a spice bed. Not that they were going to witness.
But why harvesting. Wouldn't you see a crawler that's out there?
It's dangerous. If you're looking at the bed. They've been harping so much about, you know, Leto's safety and keeping Paul safe and everyone's on edge. I don't think
but
they
if
would,
you're in an ornithopter, like way the fuck above, I don't know.
Yeah. Still a little bit unclear. But the worm sign, they relay the information down to the harvester, worm sign north and east of you, 3.7 kilometers, contact in 5 minutes.
You just see a fucking spotter zoom past.
Yeah.
And it's the spotter that actually calls that out, not, Kynes. So spotter one of the little drones zooms past the ornithopter.
Oh, okay. I thought
goes
it was
out
Kynes.
And confirms the worm sign for the crawler.
Gotcha.
And it says 3.7 kilometers away, contact 5 minutes.
So
did some quick math.
I added too.
Hey, so that's 740 meters per minute, or roughly 27 and a half miles an hour.
Yep. And that is 44.4 kilometers per hour. For
I have some gripes.
Okay.
This movie can't decide if it wants to use metric or imperial units. Because we have 3.7 kilometers away. But last week we had temperatures in Fahrenheit.
Supposedly.
What I would assume is Fahrenheit, because if it is 90 Celsius up to 120 Celsius in a 10 minute span, nobody could work outside. People would literally boil alive.
This is true. I think that's even bad on the Kelvin scale.
That's terrifying on the Kelvin
scale. That's very cold on the, or is that terrifyingly hot on Kelvin?
Like,
I forget the.
Either way, it's not good.
true. Yeah, I guess they have been mixing and matching. Well, a lot of the world does that. Use Imperial and metric combined.
I don't know. 120 Kelvin is minus 153 Celsius.
Okay, so they're definitely not talking about Kelvin. We can rule out Kelvin.
That's cold as fuck.
Yeah.
Still bad. I still stand by my original statement that it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's just a gripe that they use metric for distance, but not for temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just use one. Just use the metric system.
Maybe they finally got over their differences and came up with a good combined usage for both of them.
Maybe. I don't know.
Then we get the question, so what happens now?
They'll call a carry-all to lift the crawler.
And in my notes, I made a point to say here, Kynes seems pretty dang calm about this too.
In Kynes' defense, Kynes has lived and worked on Arrakis
mm-hmm.
their whole life.
Yeah.
So none of this is new to her.
They're also in an ornithopter a fairly safe distance away.
Yep. They're several hundred feet above the ground. So, you know, and that's why I feel like, going back to what we were just talking about with this being planned versus unplanned, I don't think it really matters.
It doesn't. Because, it doesn't in the grand scheme of things. I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think where our minute ends is right about there.
It is. Yeah. It's
not a lot of dialogue here, but we get some cool action shots of the different crafts doing their business.
We see just like the billowing massive
mm-hmm.
cloud of dust that's getting kicked up by Shai Hulud. And Kynes even acknowledges that this is not a small worm either.
Big one.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that they don't tell the viewer for the first, like a first time viewer or whatever, truly how fast, you know, these worms are going. But you know, like I said, a little napkin math.
Yeah. Also
27 and a half miles an hour. Isn't the slowest, but it's also not
tunneling. That thing is basically tunneling at 30 miles an hour,
yeah.
Which is hauling ass.
That's what I was going to get to. It's like, you don't think about that being like super fast or like super slow, but yes, sand is not easy to move through.
No.
So the amount of force that's required to move this, you know, potentially up to 400 meters long mm-hmm. giant worm through through yeah. sand at that speed is crazy.
And I mean, we'll have to, you know, investigate this at some point, but if they can tunnel at, you know, just under 30 miles an hour, how fast do you think they can be on top of the sand? I mean, we see them hauling ass
yeah.
Across the top, but it looks a lot faster than 30.
Yeah, no. So I'm going to jump ahead to part two for a second. It's fast enough that like the wind and everything is mm-hmm. like blowing Paul's eardrums out. So,
yeah.
yeah.
So
very, I'll very quick.
Yeah. Well, for sure. So I'll cap this today's episode off with, some book differences from okay. this part of the scene.
Compare and contrast time.
Yeah. So the distance that they spot the worm.
Yep.
It's about the same.
3.7 kilometers.
Yeah. It's about the same. I think they said 5 kilometers in the books.
Okay.
But they also said 25 minutes to contact, not 5 minutes.
Shit. All right.
So the worm is moving considerably slower in the books. Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of tension, obviously.
Sure.
In them saying that, but they really ratcheted up the timelines and timetable for this worm arrival in the movies.
Got to make it, you know, high action, yeah. high stakes.
Yep, exactly. So Leto does spot the worm in the books.
Mm-hmm. Spots the bird first.
Spots the bird first, and then he yep. spots the worm. Calls down the worm sign to the harvester.
Learns the difference between a worm and a bird.
Yep. Yep. It's important. And a question that the harvester asks back is, who gets credit for spotting the worm? And Kynes has to explain to them that he's like, oh yeah, well, if one of the spotters spots the worm and gets us out, they get a bonus. and they're like, they're on their paycheck.
Yeah.
And Gurney's like, tell them that Duke saw it. So Kynes radios down and says, credit goes to Duke Leto Atreides. And the guy's just like, oh, okay.
All right, fine.
But then Gurney goes, and tell them that we're going to split the bonus amongst them. And so they say this back to the crawler, and he's like, oh, cool. That's awesome. But what was is it, this was kind of like a political maneuvering a little bit.
Watch it be like the equivalent of like a $5 bonus split between 21 your, dudes.
Your $20 Amazon card.
And a pizza party.
Yeah, right. But the, yeah, so there was a little bit of a political maneuvering here, because like when they say this part, they switch to an open channel. So they're not just talking to the one harvester like that they're at.
Yeah.
They're talking to anyone in like the section that they can hear them. So he's like, yeah, he's basically trying to ingratiate himself with the workers by saying, no, even though I did this, I'm giving this money back to y'all. And I don't know, just to win a little bit of favor amongst the workers in the desert, which is cool. I mean, that's
does good for him. Leto Atreides need to gain the favor of his men already, though?
Well, these workers, it's explained in the books that these workers are not necessarily Atreides.
Okay.
They're from the city. They're from Arrakeen. They're not necessarily Fremen either.
Okay.
They were just, you know, some of them worked under the Harkonnens, and they just kind of kept stayed their employment in through the management change.
Sure.
It is a little bit more important in the books that he does gain those favors.
Garner that goodwill and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
Was so work on Arrakis treated like a penal colony kind of thing?
I don't know. It's not, so like it's not the prison plant. So
like we live in Georgia, which was a penal colony.
Yeah. Well, we know the Imperium has a prison planet, Seleucus Secundus.
Okay.
Where the Sardaukar are from and train.
Second Salsa. Got
yep.
It.
That's the Imperial prison planet. It's not out of the question to think that, okay, maybe some people do get sent to here.
Yeah.
Because equally harsh conditions, it's tough work.
Morale. It's also necessary for the Imperium to survive, and for more, arguably more importantly within the universe, for the Space Inc. Guild to continue. So.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
But it's never like explicitly said.
Not
like,
that I remember. If I'm wrong, please let me know. I have not come across that.
Yeah.
Or that I remember anyways.
All right. Well, we know it's also rife with smugglers and stuff too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's all I had for book info. So I think that's all that is for this week, man.
Alrighty.
Cool.
Well, if you have any questions, or if you want to yell at Zach for any potential like missed things from the books with his compare and contrast sections here this week, you can reach out to us on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We're on Twitter at Dune Minute, or you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com. All right. You have any last words for?
Nope, that'll do it. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you later.